Hello everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are
the Lazy Book Lovers.
This is a podcast for book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read files.
Just dropped an ice block if you hear that. You probably do hear it.
it's very hot today in the UK, or at least in our part of the UK. Mm. It's only 30 degrees, so for those of you who are outside the UK, you're going to be laughing at us. But my room is so warm, I don't turn the radiator on. Like, I don't turn my heating on in my room in the winter. That's how warm my room is.
Unless you've experienced a UK 30 degrees, you can't laugh, basically. It's a different beast.
So that you don't hear the
sound. We don't have aircon.
Yeah, so you're not hearing the fan. We are currently holding ice blocks to ourselves.
So you might hear a little... like that.
Yeah, the gel apologies. Packs don't make a noise, no. To be fair.
I'll swap to one of them in a bit.
ironically, it wasn't really planned, and obviously couldn't plan the weather. I thought we could do a theme of, like, books that have a summery vibe. So not, like, I found a lot of articles that were, like, summer reads, which are essentially books that were, like, fun to read at the beach. And I'm like, no, I want books with a summer holiday vibe.
Books with not much substance and they're, like, popcorn reading.
Yeah. So no, to be clear, this is, like, summery books. Books that gave me, like, a summer vibe. They're a bit biased to... my reading interests, because... wow,
it's our podcast.
This is my podcast, I'm in charge. It's a short list, because I thought we could try going in a bit more depth for you. Mm. So I went and watched reviews for the books that I haven't read. I did
check
actual prep,
out.
I did research.
I'm impressed.
Okay, so we're going to start with... I can't remember if you've read this one. Beach Read, Emily Henry.
Yes.
I've forgotten to do podcasty things. So we've got a buddy read that you can join in, by the way. Yeah. So this is my spiel that I'm supposed to do that I've just done. So we've got a July, August buddy read. So we read one book over 2 months. You can read it along with us on Storygraph. This month's book is My Boss is the Devil.
Yeah. It'll be available on KU, Kindle Unlimited, if you have access to Kindle Unlimited. And we will be chatting about it on, as Tony said, on Storygraph. Also... probably touch on it on our Discord and in our Facebook group. So if you're not in either of them, check the links in the description.
Yep. And if you are enjoying the podcast and would like to support us a little bit financially, we do have a Ko-fi subscription link. It's just like Patreon, and it does get you access to an exclusive Discord. We're just trying to build like a book community. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get in on any of those,
yeah, we want to be able to talk to you and yeah. Hear you back.
Because the whole point was that we were each other's only bookish friend. That's why we started the podcast. Yeah. So we're trying to find more. Okay, let's get into it. Okay, yeah. Beach Read.
Yeah.
So,
did you say who it was by?
Emily Henry.
Yeah, I can't remember if you said who it was by.
A romance writer who no longer believes in love and a literary writer stuck in a rut engaged in a summer-long challenge that may upend everything they believe about happily ever afters. Mm. So this is... opposites, this is slow burn, this is enemies to lovers.
Grumpy sunshine. As enemies to lovers as it can be in a contemporary setting, which is not real enemies to lovers.
Do you wanna do the rant?
No, it's fine. It's not enemies to lovers if it's contemporary, that's all I'm gonna say.
Because you can't have a real enemy.
Yeah, unless you're trying to actually kill each other.
Yeah.
That is it. I will stop derailing with my enemies to lovers rant.
Enemies to lovers
if there's
rant.
Any book that has a quote-unquote love triangle, I'll be back for another rant later.
No, I don't think I've got any of them.
Okay.
We've escaped.
We'll save that.
They're falling out of popularity and I'm here for
good.
It.
Do you know what's in popularity that what? I keep coming across? Reverse harem. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, so I'm completely derailing already.
No, you're fine. We've only got 10 books, so you know.
I put out a thread the other day saying, like, if you're an indie author, would you be annoyed if I
slid into your DMs and told you my thoughts as I was reading my your book.
Yeah.
And I had a very positive response. One person was very aggressively angry with me. And I was like, all right, I won't read your books then. And then
okay,
I looked,
it's okay, babe. You don't have to join in.
I looked at their books, and to be fair, I would never have touched them anyway. But yeah, there was a mostly positive response. So I actually went through like the 35 or something authors that replied to me to see if any of them had a book I would like. And I added them onto a list for me to give a try at some point.
Cool.
One of them, I was looking at their books and I was like, I don't really think there's anything here that's for me.
Mm.
And then I saw one that was like a reverse harem with 12 guys. And I was like, oh, maybe that could be something I'll read, because I've been reading a lot of reverse harem books recently. Don't ask me why. And then I looked into it and I was like, 12. And I was like, oh, I could give that a try. And then I read a bit more and it was like my brothers. And I was like, related brothers or... Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Incest with 12 brothers. Look, this is, I'm not what's judging, it, yakking this... anyone's yarn. And author, this isn't anything at you. I know, like, taboo romance is a thing. I was just like, it's not for me. But I just found that quite interesting that that's a book that's out there and it had a lot of high reviews.
Why is that
It's obviously well written.
Credence?
Yeah, that's the one with the dad and the step uncle or something. The uncle and the
step uncle
nephew
and the nephews, and she ends up fucking all of them.
Yeah, I don't
I've not read it, but I watched a review.
I watched
it.
Lexi, I think.
Mm, yeah, go on about I think we watched the same one then. And I was like, you know what? That is just told me that I don't need to read that one.
Yeah. I'm not a, you know, whatever. It's just incest is not something I tend to pick up.
It's just so weird. Such a prude.
I am
so weird
quite,
like that.
I am quite prudish. I mean, this week I read all of the series. What is it that starts with The Dragon's Bride? And I caught up with the rest of the series. I'm a serious prude. Yeah, with my Kraken's romance and stuff.
I've been reading to talk about that.
It's all been monster smut and reverse harem recently.
It's been ages.
I
really
it.
Miss your Monster Smart era.
I've been reading a few different series, so reading updates just could be Monster Smart. Just
if
FYI.
You go back, it's like a year and a half or
it's
more.
Been a while.
You were pregnant.
Yes, I was. That poor kid.
Maybe even 2 years ago in the podcast, you'll find that era of the Kraken smart.
Yeah, so I read The Dragon's Bride in 2022. Mid-2022.
So
that's
if you
what
look
I was
around
reading
then,
a lot. Yeah.
We've got some great reading updates.
And we've been on
then.
Been on pause and now we're back.
I'm glad
with
Monster Smart is back.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Beatrice. Which does not feature Monster Smart.
No. So yeah, we've got one person, they're both basically struggling writers. Not struggling as in struggling to get published, but as in they just can't...
Like writer's block.
Writer's block, thank you, that's the word. The girl has lost her father and is a bit like, nothing is real, love isn't real, blah, blah, blah. And he is an old enemy from her uni days. And she's like still like, I hate you. And he's like, I actually never hated you, I was just a dick.
Yeah, so they had like a bit of a miscommunication at university, and then because they both went on to become authors, they just kind of had a bit of a, not really a rivalry, because
they
write
in
different genres. Yeah.
But she's a romance writer and she sort of has her back up about
she's
not being
always,
taken super seriously.
She's always held it that he hates her.
Yeah, and because he writes sort of speculative, quite... sort of
hard-hitting, gritty
fiction, and she's like, oh, you know, you obviously look down on my romance fiction, and he's like, and in the end he's like, no, I don't. So what they actually do is they decide to beat their writer's block, they swap genres.
Mm-hmm.
So she does his topic, which is about a cult in the woods in the 70s that actually is related to something that happened to his actual family, turns out, and she has to write a romance. And as part of that, of course, she takes him out on, like, book trope dates.
I do feel the only downside of this book is they didn't do enough of that.
Yeah. That had so much potential.
I think they only go on, like, two dates.
They do, like, a carnival. They do the trip to the woods, which, like, is also for his research for that book, so it's kind of like a double
and that's pretty much
they
it.
Do like a no they do something by the beach one night
and
like
then
a romantic dinner
and
stuff.
Then vice versa, he takes her when he goes to interview people and stuff, and so he takes her on like two interviews. And I do feel like they could have done more with that. I would have loved to have seen more
there is
cute little romance dates.
There is a lot of describing of them writing at separate desks.
Yeah, and that, oh yeah, so they're in beach houses next to each other. Yes, did we mention that?
I think
that?
We missed that kind of context. Yeah, so they—that's how they write. This how this competition starts is she goes to her dad's old cabin, and it turns out it's next door to like her enemy, and that's his hometown, and he actually lives there now. So they end up their writing desks are in opposite windows to each other. So it, what starts out as a bit of a competition of like trying to distract the other person and fucking around,
yeah,
ends up being, you know.
Romantic.
Yeah. And when things get spicy, it starts being like, oh, you can come over if you write 100 words, like 100 pages or something. I can't remember. It's cute. Very summery vibes, because obviously it's a beach read. It's literally set by a lake, like a beachside lake thing, cabin.
And Emily Henry Books, if you haven't read any of their books yet, they're very, there's a lot more to them apart from like the romance. They have a lot of like... family drama and things like that.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's a small town. There's a lot of kind of busybodies that are trying to get them together as well, isn't there?
Yeah. He has an aunt who owns a bookshop who clocks it immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, you two, right, okay, called it.
Yeah, she like invites them both to like a book group and tricks them or something.
Yeah, and then she gets drunk.
Yeah.
And he has to drive her home when she's drunk.
And she also has to come to terms with the fact that her dad wasn't the kind of perfect person she always pictured him to be, because some things come to light and stuff.
Yeah, so
they're both named after months as well, isn't it? June and August, is that
No, she's he's Augustus.
Oh, Augustus.
And historiograph is a bad habit of January.
January, that's it. And I think I just decided his name was August because that's cuter.
Augustus, but close. Okay, and now, so I've limited, to be honest, I think almost every Emily Henry could fit in this category.
Yeah.
You keep looking for my romance shelf. I've sold them. That's why you can't see them.
Oh.
They're gone.
Okay. So, brutal.
We're being strict now. Yeah.
Read them, not going to reread them, they're gone.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The vintage life has come for me. I sold my Shatter Me series.
Do they sell? Well, you've got one up there, Believe Me.
Isn't I haven't read that one yet.
Ah.
But because, you know, I started re-listening to the audios.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know I'm never going to reread this series.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, this is a hot, here's it's taken space. Up an entire shelf.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, but this needs to go. I got a pretty decent amount of money for it,
to be honest. Your books, do they sell quite quickly on Vinted?
Some of them.
Because I have a lot of books and I'm thinking of doing them on Vinted. I have a lot of books I need to get rid of.
If you're clever with your pricing.
Yeah.
Or if I've priced it high, I tend to explain why.
Okay, yeah.
So I put in the description, like, on Amazon, secondhand, this is this plus delivery or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, so you are saving money and also not giving money to Amazon.
Yeah.
So I sort of put that stuff in the description and that tends to help. Working marketing and doing lots of keywords work right now. Really helpful. Mm. Yeah, so I don't know, I've got a few that have been sat there a while. I don't know, would you want my vintage store? I don't know, I'm gonna link it somewhere. pretty much anything you've heard me talk about in the podcast that I don't intend to keep, it does end up on there.
Is it in your links on your bio or what?
No, I haven't really linked it anywhere. I think I shouldn't, to my blog as well.
Yeah, you should.
I keep forgetting. I've just included one other Emily Henry.
Yeah.
For this, but I think they could all fit. Just FYI, I just didn't want it to be an entire list of Emily Henry. So, Happy Place. So that one is Harriet and Wynn. So this, actually the description's not too long for this one, so I'll read the description out. Harriet and Wynn are the perfect couple. They go together like bread and butter, gin and tonic, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Every year for the past decade, they have left behind their lives to drink far too much wine and soak up the sea air with their favourite people in the world. Except this year, they are lying through their teeth. Harriet and Wynn broke up 6 months ago and they still haven't told anyone. This is the last time they'll all be together here. The cottage is for sale. And since they can't bear to break their best friend's heart, they'll take it for one more week. But how can you pretend to be in love and get away with it in front of the people who know you best?
So it's like second chance romance, this one.
Yeah. I included it because it was, like, probably one of my favourites.
I've not read this one.
To be fair, the other one that could have been on this list...
As you said, any of them.
Yeah, this isn't my favourite Emily Henry. I was just trying to remember. The one where she's like a...
Book Lovers.
Book Lovers. Yeah. Yeah, Book Lovers is my favourite.
Mm.
Better lift it off this list. So, yeah, they are exes. They've been together a long time. They're part of a friendship group that did just start out all as friends. It started out as just the three girls. And then they moved into flat shares in college. And from there, they sort of collected more and more of these guys that are in the group. Harry and Wim were the first of the group couples to end up becoming a couple. And not long after that, the other pair followed.
Yeah, so they're seen as like mum and dad.
You know, I don't know, everyone has that friend who are a couple that you're like, you're the reason I believe in love. And if you break up, love isn't real. Yeah. That's who they are to their mates.
Mm.
And then, yeah, they've got one more friend who's her partner is a woman, and that woman becomes part of the friendship group too. And then since college days, they've met up once a year at the cottage to all catch up and like where they've moved to different cities, and like Harriet's doing her residency. They all don't get to see each other very much anymore. So like getting together is coming harder and harder and harder. So when they go for this one, Harriet and Wynne had discussed it, and she was like gonna be the one to take the trip, and he wasn't supposed to go. And then her best friend strong-armed him into coming, basically saying, oh yeah, me and Figgy are gonna get married, so you and also the cottage is going for sale, so you have to come. And then they're forced to share a room because they're obviously keeping the ruse going, and she doesn't really understand, like, the reason he broke up with her isn't fair, and it was a shitty thing to do. And it's all quite complicated, like his dad had passed away and he was in this city for Harriet's residency and just not happy.
There's a lot of parents passing away in Emily Henry books, actually.
Yeah, I know, there's one in...
In Book Lovers book as lovers well, too, yeah. And I've not read You and Me on Vacation, or The People We Are on Vacation, whichever the English name is, I've not read
You and Me on Vacation is the English version. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any deaths in that one. But yeah, so he...
If Emily Henry's working through some parental through
some stuff. So he's just deeply unhappy. And then an unfortunate thing happens with one of Harriet's colleagues, and she immediately tells him, and he uses an excuse to just break it off.
Mm.
And he had already gone home to help his mum after his dad's death at that point anyway. So they were like different cities. So even that, it's really good angsty stuff, because like even as they start to reconnect and kind of figure out what went wrong with them, the fundamental truth of he couldn't survive in Chicago.
Mm.
It genuinely nearly kill him because his depression got so bad.
Yeah.
So he's like, we still have the same issue. And he's like, and I moved to Chicago for you. You can't move to where I live for me.
Because it's the same issue. Yeah.
But the secret thing nobody knows is that Harriet's deeply unhappy in her residency, and she's been working towards being a brain surgeon since she was like 12.
Yeah.
This has been her goal her whole life.
Yeah, it turns out and the dream she hates is not, it. Yeah.
And that's part of the issue, is she hates it. And she hasn't and she feels told like
she
anyone.
She has to go through with it because she's been working towards it forever.
And her parents were not well off, and they sacrificed a lot to get her through uni. And she feels like she's letting them down if she doesn't follow through. It's really... I mean, I liked it. I'm not usually a second chance romance person, but I liked the ending. I thought, and it was the whole thing, obviously, it's just summer vacation. So they do... The friend that's forced them all to be there is trying to conjure up all the memories of when they were teenagers and doing the things that were fun
you
when they were...
You just can't do that when you're like...
In their 20s.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
And it's the same phase of life my friends are currently in, where you're transitioning out of your 20s and the things you used to find fun in your
20s
just aren't fun anymore. And we don't even have a lot of kids in our group.
No.
It's just, you just start to find different things enjoyable.
Yeah.
And if some friends don't catch up to you in that as well, that makes it makes things really complicated.
Now, the thought of having to be, like, out socialising till, like, midnight or something, it sounds horrific to me. But if you invited me to your house for a games night, I would probably be fine socialising till midnight.
Yeah.
But if you want me to stand in a loud place, no. I'll probably just be like, I'm going, bye.
When you're in that phase of like transitioning out of it, and like some people are still enjoying that and some people aren't, and it obviously makes a sort of divide.
It's a bit of an awkward point in a friend group when you're all trying to work out.
Well, yeah, especially as, like, I think sometimes if you have kids, that ends up making the decision for you. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's just kind of been like, oh, I'm just getting older and I don't enjoy this as much anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been that slow kind of gradual realisation and, like, just let it go.
And a lot of people do get to that stage. Mm. Some people don't, and they enjoy it, and that's their lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with that. But not, you know, I think it's not likely that a whole friends group is going to continue finding
or the same thing. The more they get married and have kids, and the more you aren't in that phase of life, the less and less you have in common at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there is a point when kids are small, that they are your whole world.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and it takes, I don't know, like, your friendship has to evolve, and some people don't grow with that very quickly.
Yeah. I think it can be hard for some people to understand that as well, if they haven't had kids and are not particularly paternal or maternal. It could be hard for them to understand the whole, become your life.
Yeah, all she talks about is the kids, and it's like, well, yeah, because that's what she does with most of her day.
I spend, like, literally 20 hours of my day with them. Yeah, I haven't got much else to talk about, unless you want to talk about washing or mopping.
That washing up.
Yeah,
so I really enjoyed Happy Place to try and include it on here.
Mm.
We are, most of these I haven't read, actually. I tried to go a bit outside of myself.
Mm.
Next one I've got is called Summer Reading, and it's by Jen McKinley.
Mm.
This is a big book. This is 460 pages.
For a romance?
Yeah.
That should be illegal.
So
300 pages max. Come on.
Yeah.
How much are you, like...
How much plot are we
getting
in
out here? This third act? Come on.
Yeah, so I sort of saw conflicting reviews on this.
What's it called, sorry?
Summer Reading. When a woman who'd rather do anything than read meets a swoon-worthy bookworm, sparks fly, making for a hot summer fling, a New York Times bestselling author, Jim McKinley's rom-com.
Oh, I like the idea of... him being a bookworm, because it's usually the female being the bookworm. Like that.
So this description's not too long, so I'm going to read the full thing.
Really? It's like four paragraphs. That's huge.
It doesn't feel too bad.
Yeah, go for it.
I might not read all the way through.
Yeah.
For Samantha Gale, a summer on Martha's Vineyard at her family's tiny cottage was supposed to be about resurrecting her career as a chef until she's tasked with chaperoning her half-brother, Tyler, the teenage brainiac, is spending his summer at the local library in a robotics competition, and there's no place Sam, who has dyslexia, likes less than the library. Mm-hmm. And because the universe hates her, the library's interim director turns out to be the hot reader guy whose book she accidentally destroyed on a ferry ride to the island.
Oh.
Yeah. So, from what I saw on TikTok... this book is actually printed in the dyslexic-friendly font as well.
That's probably why it's so many pages.
Yeah, so maybe the font's bigger or something, but it's in that font that has different boldings and different sizing and stuff that's meant to make it easier.
I tried to read that and I was like, yeah, I'm not dyslexic.
Then there is an ADHD font, though, that's supposed to be easier to focus on.
Yeah, they don't
and
that, have that
I did
on
find
their
that
Kindle,
helpful.
But I do the reading ruler, which is really helpful for ADHD.
So she's basically like doesn't enjoy reading books. She does talk about being a little bit ADHD in the books and finding it really hard to focus on audiobooks too. So she's just not a book lover.
Yeah, which
and she
is
just
fine.
Thought it's not for her. And then she meets a really hot bookworm who's like, hey, we need to try. Maybe
reading
we can
is
find
my
a
life.
Way. Yeah, maybe we like. It's just like I think the same way we'd feel. I'm like, it's just sad that you can't enjoy books. Like, get the feeling I get from books. Yeah. So he sets out to find a way to get her to enjoy books, and it turns out her being read books by him is
something
the right way.
Yeah.
Oh,
if someone read me a book, I would love that.
I was watching a TikTok of this blind TikToker who was like, I used to love reading before I lost my sight. Now something me and my girlfriend do is she reads books aloud to me, and we spend like a few minutes, like a few hour every evening doing it. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute.
I used to read to my ex. Like, when we did drives to him from uni, I'd read a book to him.
Oh, that's really cute.
I didn't deserve it.
No.
No, I'm joking. Now I'd just be like, put an audiobook on.
Yeah. That's what I drive to most days.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah, so apparently the story is just like them falling in love, obviously.
Over books.
He's on a quest to find his real father.
Mm.
And he's like, I don't need a relationship. But the ones I saw on TikTok, they fall pretty fast. It's not one of those ones, they draw it out. So I'm assuming there's a lot of plot in this book.
Mm.
But one of the criticisms in people's various reviews was they didn't feel like it had a lot of depth.
Okay.
They were like, I did not care about these characters. Mm. And like, her only depth was that she was dyslexic.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's nice to see that being talked about in a book. But there was not much more to her character.
That could be quite subjective. I mean, perhaps if you are dyslexic, you might find it a really good representation.
That, well, that's what other people said. They felt it had really good representation in it.
I hope that there's some sort of robot competition for her half-brother.
Yeah, I hope so. I didn't see it mentioned.
Oh, yeah, it says robotics competition.
Yeah. That's what he's there at the
moment. I want to hear about that. I want to hear about the robot he's building. I want to hear about all the robot wars.
Yeah,
not 10 rounds of robot wars.
Exactly. Who needs some romance when we can have robot wars? And the cover is like them on a beach with a book open between them. So
yeah, it's a really cute cover. That's why I looked it up to see the cover when you mentioned it.
So I reckon that's one I could. I was gonna go. I'd do it as an audio,
but I wouldn't read with my eyes 400 pages of romance. No. I just would not do it.
No, romance for you is like a...
It needs to be a short, fluffy thing. It's like a
little tasty treat.
Yeah, I'm not.
Plus, it's a side quest.
I refuse. 400 pages, please. That should be a fantasy at that length. A short fantasy at that length.
Okay, so I've got one that's sort of for you.
Okay, go on, tell me more.
So, because it's romance, but it's also a thriller.
Okay.
/ murdery. Got a couple of these, and I found them just for you.
Thank you.
My Killer Vacation, Tessa Bailey.
Oh, I've been wanting to read this.
Yeah, so this is our, again, approved 300 pages.
Oh, yeah.
from everything I see about Tessa Bailey, have you read any Tessa Bailey books?
I
haven't yet.
Have I? There's the One Night in Whatever. Hang on, let me look up. I don't think I have.
It's these kind of, these ones.
Yeah, I don't think I've read any of them, but it happened one summer. That was one I was going to read, but I decided not to read it because I didn't like the woman's outfit on the cover.
I don't feel, all the reviews I see of Tessa Bailey books are very, she seems to be very Marmite.
Yeah.
Either people are like, this is trash, I'm so regret I read it, Book Talk let me down, and then other people are like, 5-star read, My I'm obsessed.
Yes. I've watched a lot of reviews about this one as well.
Yeah, and people either fucking hate it or they love it. Yeah. And there seems to be no...
People are passionate.
Yeah.
Either way.
Then there seems to be no sort of like, that was a book I read. Like, there's, I couldn't find any that were kind of middle ground.
No.
It was like, this was trash, it was a waste of my time. And there was like... Great book. I love it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Obsessed. I need everyone to read it. It's a bit of a chunky description, so I might cut off at some point.
Okay.
But we're going to give it a go. Okay. It was supposed to be a relaxing vacation in sweet sunny Cape Cod, just Taylor and her beloved brother. But discovering a corpse in their rental house has really thrown a wrench into their tanning schedule. Now a rude, crude, brown bounty hunter has arrived on the back of his motorcycle to catch the killer and refuses to believe Taylor cannot be helpful, despite the countless hours she spent watching listening to true crime podcasts. Not to mention her fulfilling career of wrangling second graders. So, yeah, people are basically like, this is Grumpy Sunshine.
Yeah.
She's a bounty hunter. She is just a second-grade teacher who thinks she'd be really good at crime solving.
It's like Vera Wong.
Yeah. And just kind of seems to just push her way into it.
Yeah, just like Vera Wong.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's the... sure, she's stubborn, distracting, and can't stay out of harm's way, but she's also brave and beautiful. It reminds him of home he left behind 3 years ago. In other words, insatiable hunger and protection if she's awakening is a threat to his peace of mind.
It's such a random plot. That's it. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah.
It's such a random plot.
But you got some good tropes, you've got Grumpy Sunshine, and then you've got, you know... She's on holiday Cape Cod.
Yeah.
Martha's Vineyard, which is like a thing which I only know of from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you say it to most Americans, they know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm like, what is this place?
Who is this? Who's Martha? Yeah. Why has she got a vineyard? Why is everyone going to a vineyard?
Did Martha just, like, own the whole island? What's that about? Americans.
She just lets people stay on her vineyard. I don't understand.
I'm sure it's got like a big history. We're just shitting all over.
Look, all we know is that people go to there on holiday, and that's literally, and we know the name of it. Let us come up with whatever we want about it without looking into it.
And Emily from Gilmore Girls ends up living there.
The older I get and the more I watch Gilmore Girls, the more I realise Emily is just the MVP. Like,
Rory, I find her in more and more insufferable with every rewatch. And
she used to be my favourite.
But she's a brat.
Yeah, and I don't.
And she's spoiled.
And the more I watch it, I don't really like Lorelai either.
I mean, Lorelai's just not perfect. Like, she's very. But everyone's kind of. I've been watching, like, weirdly, TikToks doing, like, breakdowns of the writing.
Yeah.
And, like, the what went into it and, like, the decisions they made. And, like, they're all quite. No one's just a good person. In this world.
No, because they're all complex human beings. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like, Lorelai and her mum, what happened? Like, and then when they started to repair their relationship and Lorelai being like, I had to have dinner with them and they've given me 30k a term.
Yeah.
Like, shut the fuck up. Go to dinner. Yeah. Like,
but, and then when you find out, like, even the first time I watched it, when you find out, like, what happened, I was like, I mean, that wasn't that bad, was it?
I mean, like, you can, they kind of show it when Rory lives with Emily, and, like, you can see how controlling Emily is.
Yeah, yeah.
I think then we get a better picture of it then.
Yeah.
Of, like, how it could come to that. Because, you know, when she's like, Emily goes, oh, you're starting to sound like my daughter, and Rory goes, you're starting to sound like my mother's mother.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, give my girls tangent.
They go to Martha's Vineyard.
Relevant. So, I don't know, because I saw loads of reviews saying Mike and a Vacation is funny and really good banter in it. So,
it's hard to find good banter in books that doesn't feel stilted or weird or, like, pushed in.
The best one I've read for it is Hating Game, hands down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the best one for any of Sea Lovers that felt real and good banter that never really left as they became a couple. That and, oh, I hate to give these books any hype, Twisted Games from the Twisted series. That is another one that was enemies to lovers that felt realistic and the same banter carries through into their relationship.
I like it when they get together, the banter continues because that's how they communicate.
Yeah, that's their dynamic as people. You don't suddenly become like a not sarcastic asshole just because you're in love.
No. It should bring out the best in you, i.e. it should make you more sarcastic. Yeah.
Just need someone who can take it just brutally.
Yeah. If people don't look at us like, why are they together? I don't want it. Hashtag toxic.
So, this one we've both read.
Tell me more.
And I think it's perfect for this list.
Go on.
The Unhoneymooners by Christina Loren.
Yeah. This was a really good book.
This was one of my favourites that I've read this year. I should have put it on my favourites list that I did for our summary.
Oh, yeah.
So, this is... They... So, our male main character, his brother, and our female main character's sister...
Are getting married.
Her sister is, like, the queen of getting things cheap or free and entering competitions. And
such a random thing, isn't it?
She also gets this wedding for, like, £3,000. I understand
that's the whole concept for the honeymoon. And without that, it wouldn't make sense. But it is such a random character point.
If I'm like, oh, she won the DJ. She won her dress. She won the bridesmaids' dresses. She won the seafood buffet. Like, shut up. No. No one's that lucky. A fun...
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have the unlucky lucky.
Yeah.
So they're twins.
They're twins, and she's the unlucky sister, and her sister's really lucky. Also, that's the narrative she kind of carries with her.
And I think everyone kind of thinks that.
Yeah, ever since she got stuck inside a grabber machine. At
Yeah.
And it ended up on the news. She's been like, that was the moment that my luck changed. And so they don't get on, her and the brother-in-law.
Immediately.
Basically, when they first meet, she goes to get a cheesy thing from at a fair. She goes to get a bit of cheesy, greasy food. She's a curvier girl. And he looks at her with, like, a face of disgust.
Or so she reads.
Or so she thinks.
Yeah.
And that, just immediately from there, she hates him, and he responds in kind.
Yeah, but like... And
neither, but both of them all throw down.
Yeah. But like, I think because she finds him attractive, she is already primed to be like... He's gonna look down.
He's like a very muscly guy, and yeah, she's like, "Oh, he's gonna look down on me for being
so
bigger."
Regardless of his face, she would have assumed that. I think,
yeah. And so they've just always hated each other. It's been a long, long rivalry. It's gone on for ages.
Everyone's aware of it.
Everyone knows it's happening. And then, so the entire wedding party gets food poisoning from the seafood buffet, except the twin who's allergic. Our main character, and the guy who's just basically a germaphobe and doesn't like buffets, and he's like, well, this is just proving me wrong, to be honest. And then their respective siblings are like, well, the holiday's free and we can't transfer the tickets, just go in our place.
Yeah, same surnames.
Just yeah. Their twin sister, she was just like, take my ID. And she's like, that's fraud. And her sister's like, ah, it's fine. Yeah. She does end up buying flights under her own name.
Yeah.
Just checks into the hotel. So obviously they've checked into this hotel. They are like, I'm not giving up this holiday for you. Fuck you. And it's meant to be this huge suite. So they were like, it's fine. One of us can sleep on the sofa. One person can sleep on the bed.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving up a free holiday for you, you bastard. So they end up going on this trip.
And for some reason, they don't consider that it's all going to be like newlywed stuff.
Yeah. And that seems like a huge shock to them.
They're like, couples massage, and they're like, what?
And then the whole thing is, when they get there, they're just going to ignore each other and come back to the room to sleep. But then she gets there and bumps into her would-be new boss. So she's only just accepted the job before getting on the flight.
Yeah.
And then she's just bumped into the CEO, who is also on holiday. And then a masseuse comes out and is like, hello, Mrs. blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, you just got married. Congratulations.
Yeah, and like, his company's really big on like family.
And is very like,
has like
morals.
A morality clause, which yeah. I think should be illegal, but I'm sure is very
it's
much
in okay
use
in America.
America.
Yeah. So she's like, shit, we have to pretend to still be married. And this boss is like super friendly. And he's like, come to dinner with me and my wife.
Yeah,
so she's
they
like,
all get along.
We have to keep acting like we're a married couple, which means they end up doing activities
which
together.
Is stupid, because yeah. What about when you get back? She's like, what?
She obviously panics in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, I don't want him, like, he'll think it's immoral that I've taken my sister's place on this holiday. And it's like, that is the better of the two options.
Well, like, as soon as she does the lie, she's like, I'm in too deep, there's no going back
now.
Yeah,
I've fucked now forever.
And so, yeah. And then conveniently, when her boss leaves, his ex, who is like the ex.
Not her boss's ex.
The male, I need to look at their names.
The guy that's on holiday with them, with her.
Hold on. Olive and... Ethan.
Yeah, that's it.
There we go. We've got some names for you now. Ethan's ex, who's like the ex who broke his heart, is there with a new guy and engaged.
Yeah.
So he's like, we're going to have to keep pretending to be married. I want you to make her super jealous.
Olive's like, got it.
And
on it.
She's like, cool. And this woman's immediately a bitch to Olive. So Olive's like, I don't care about you.
I'm
going to fuck things up for you. Like, I'm going to make this a competition.
Yeah.
And like, The ex keeps doing gross stuff, like making out with her new boyfriend in front
like,
of them.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall vibes. Have you ever
seen
that film?
Yeah, I love that film.
Yeah, it's so good. Kind of.
You sound like you're from London.
Not as good because of Russell Brand, but it's kind of tame. But yeah.
It's a really, their banter is so funny.
Yeah, that
it's
is one of the ones
book.
Where the banter's really good.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud a few times.
And it doesn't really change as their relationship changes.
No.
Like, they keep the banter.
And they keep trying to, like, push each other to do things.
Yeah, lots of silly dares and, like, I don't know. It's good fun. And obviously they're on this, like, dream vacation the whole time. So there's lots of stories of, like, them going around the island, and it made me very...
And,
nostalgic for holiday.
There is, at the end, like, it does continue on when they come back from the holiday, and I just think it's really good how they support each other with various things and whatever. Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, because the stuff comes to light about the brother-in-law, and they kind of discover what's made them enemies actually has nothing to do with them, and it actually is the brother-in-law's agenda. And, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
And the third act, miscommunication, is like, again, not adults just not having a fucking conversation. No. It is like a real something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And not everyone handles it well because they're human beings. And then, yeah. Right.
Very well written.
I'm going to move on. Now we've got all ones that we haven't, neither of us have read, I don't think. Okay. The Resort by Sarah Oakes.
No.
Here comes a searing vacation thriller set on a remote island in Thailand following two mysterious women, a charismatic group of expats, and one murder poised to bring their paradise crashing down.
Sounds like something I would like.
Yes, this is why I picked it. Welcome to paradise. We hope you survive your stay. There are three rules to survive a dive at the famous Koh Sang Resort. Breathe normally if something goes wrong. Always dive with someone you trust. Don't panic if your oxygen is running out.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
So our main character is a diving instructor on this island.
I watched a reading vlog of someone reading this who hated it.
So again, this is another one where I looked up reviews. It was very, some people were like, this is shit. It was awful. I hated it. And some people were like, this is so good. There's so many twists.
The thing with thrillers is that is just how it is. It's like, love it or hate it. It's also called The Dive.
Is it?
I wonder where it's called The Dive.
So yeah, basically she is a scuba instructor who has a dark past that she's run away from, and it catches up to her on this island.
I love things like that where people are running away from something. It makes this really Death in Paradise for me, which
I
love Death in Paradise.
I kind of dropped out of watching that.
Yeah.
And now there's too many to catch up.
Well worth it.
Okay, I'm going to power through.
Yes.
Long chats about some of these. Okay. So there's another one I've picked for you, which I think you've either read or have heard of or have put on a list we've done already.
Tell me.
Dial A for Aunties.
Yeah, I read Vera Wong's Unsolicited Guide for Murder, which is by the same author, so I really want to read this.
Sutanto. What happens when you mix one accidental murder with 2,000 wedding guests and then toss in a possible curse on a 3 generations of an immigrant Chinese Indonesian family? You get 4 meddling Asian aunties come to the rescue. So yeah, there's basically this girl who runs a wedding business with her 4 aunties on this island. This is where we get the kind of whole holiday, summer holiday vibes. There are 4 meddling aunties who are like, why are you still single? You need to have a man, blah, blah, blah. So they set her up on a date, and in this date, she accidentally kills him.
And then they're like, let's cover it up.
Yeah, and then the aunties are like, okay, well, we're going to help you cover this up. We're going to fix it.
We'll just pretend this never happened. It's fine.
But basically, from the reviews I read, the corpse ends up within the wedding somehow. And apparently, this is just very funny. We've got lots of, like, the cultural references, obviously, and the meddling aunties just trying to fix things and things just progressively just going out of fucking control.
Well, I only read Vera Wong, but that was the same sort of vibe. Like, very funny, just a busybody trying to fix things.
Yeah.
And, like, getting all involved where she doesn't need to
But be. It just, apparently, things just escalate and get more and more that wrong and there's brilliant. Just so much chaos.
And this is the first in a series as well, so that follows the same aunties, I think.
Yeah, so the second book is 4 aunties and a wedding, which someone else said when I was researching books for this list, that could also be a summary book.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously all set on this island. And then book 3 is Good, the Bad and the Aunties. So it's just them trying to help her cover up a murder, basically.
Oh, yeah. I really need and to, then, like, prioritise these, actually.
Apparently, through this is also another romance that happens in the background.
Oh, that's cool.
Which isn't really mentioned. Oh, things go from inconvenient to downright torturous when Mehdi's great love and biggest heartbreak makes a surprise appearance amid the wedding chaos. Is it possible to escape murder charges, charm her ex back into her life, and pull off a stunning wedding all in one weekend?
That sounds brilliant.
So this is another one that some of the reviews were like, this is shit. And then some of them were like, oh, it was so nice to see, like, good immigrant representation, so positive, so funny, so clever. So, got some divisive books on this list, apparently. Yeah. So this is on here because I want to read it.
Tell me more.
There's a couple on here that are just on here because I want to read them, to be honest, because I made the list. And I'm in charge.
Mm.
The Paradise Problem, another book by Christina Loren.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm looking up all these as you go.
This is one of several paragraphs.
Oh, I like the cover. Christina Loren's cover artist, whoever her publishers use.
Clever. Gorgeous. And it's different to what everything else that's doing there, like romance books that are coming out now.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Really different to their other books as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
So I'm not going to read the huge description. Please feel free to go and check these out as you go. They will be linked in the description or listed at the very least. So basically we've got Anna Green. She marries Liam Weston. She calls him West apparently, but he's also called Liam. I don't know. Just to get basically the subsidised family housing at uni. He's from a very wealthy family, she's not, but yeah, they marry just for convenience. It's a marriage convenience at uni.
What does he get out of it?
It's not clear.
Okay.
Cool. In the reviews I read or in this summary. So she thinks they've divorced when graduation ends.
Mm.
She goes on her merry way for like 3 years.
Oh, he doesn't get his inheritance until he's married, I think.
Yeah. But he never tells her there's a clause in that, that they have to be married for 5 years in order to get his inheritance.
Oh, so he doesn't... She just thinks, like, Ross and Rachel?
So he low-key just doesn't divorce her. And then
she thinks they're divorced?
Yeah. And turns up on her doorstep after 3 years of silence. And he's like, yeah, by the way, we're not divorced. And I need you to come with me to my sister's wedding and pretend to be my wife for 5 years.
And pretend that we've been together this whole time.
Yeah. She's like a starving artist. So she agrees, and she goes to this wedding.
I guess it's hot, because they're going to end up together, presumably.
Probably, yeah. But, like, they have to pretend to be married. He's from, like, old money wealth, and she is not.
Yeah.
So that obviously creates
its own... She's from, like, ramen noodles.
Yeah, it creates their own conflicts.
That sounds like a fun, like, dynamic.
Yeah. So, Amy, read, like, the end bit of this description.
I bet this is going to be one of those ones as well where he's like, I want to look after you. And she's like, I could do it myself. I'm independent.
So just when Liam thinks he's in the home stretch, pressure mounts for his family to see his mysterious spouse, and he has no choice but to turn to the one person he's afraid to introduce to his 1% appearance, his unpolished, not-so-ex-wife. But in the presence of his family, Liam's fears quickly shift from whether the feisty, foul-mouthed, paint-spattered Anna can play the part to whether the toxic world of wealth will corrupt someone as pure of heart as his surprisingly grounded and loyal wife. Liam will have to ask himself if the price tag of his flimsy cover story is worth losing his true love that spouted from a lie.
Oh, that's cute. And but also, he lied to you, babe.
He lied. He's a lying liar.
He's a lying liar.
But also, like, was there a prenup? Because if not, where did he get his inheritance?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Not so starving anymore.
You can do your art.
I'll check. I've never heard of that one.
No, I didn't know they had this one.
It came out this year, that's why.
Yeah, so that's going to be on our list. I hope it's on everyone's so I can listen to it, actually. I'm going to go check that after we finish recording. It's so hot in this room.
It is starting to get a bit warm, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, we've got two more and then we're done. Anyway, 7 Days in June by Tia Williams. Again, this is a selfish ad.
So high on my list, though.
Because I bought it off the back of...
I've heard so many good things.
Lexi Nooney Nova.
Yeah. I've watched so many people's reviews and it sounds so good.
Again, this is one when I looked on TikTok. Well, I found a bunch of hate for it. And a bunch of people that absolutely loved it.
It's a second chance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it, like, leans more literary than romance,
yeah.
So perhaps that's where it's not got the right.
Some people were like, there was not enough spice. There was no spice.
I hear the word spice one more time, people are just getting fucking pathetic.
Like, read the blurb, you'll know if this is going to be a book with a lot of plot and not much, and spice is like a side benefit.
Yeah. As whether... it should be in a romance, unless it's specifically marketed as a spicy book. Yeah,
you can search for that. I think both have their place, but don't be getting all up in arms because there's no spice, blah, blah, blah. And also, what people consider too spicy is different. People have different... So of this same book, I saw one person say there was, like, loads of it.
Yeah.
No, there was... It was the Abby Jimenez's book I'm going to talk about next, someone was like, there was no spice in it. I was so disappointed. There was nothing in it compared to her other books. Her other books are great for it. And there was another person was like, this was so, there were so many sex scenes in it. It just ruined it for me.
It also, like, for me, depends on what mood I'm in or the time of the month as well. Like, sometimes I could be reading a book and I'm like, this is just too much sex. But then I'll read it another time and I'll be like, ah, that's all right.
I found as a reader, I gravitate towards a bit more plot.
Yeah.
With my smut.
I don't mind, like, short, smutty books.
But yeah, those are 150 pages, 200 pages max.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's all you're going to do is sort of a vague notion of a plot.
If it's basically like a Tumblr.
You know, if it's erotica light, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
It's erotica for mums like on beaches.
That, that Creature Cafe series, that's literally just smut. And the books are a max, like, 130 pages. That's fine. I could sit on my phone and read that. That's fine. I don't even have to break out the Kindle for that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Right, so let me read. I'm just going to read the top summary because this is another long one. 7 days to fall in love, 15 years to forget, and 7 days to get it all back again. From the author of Perfect Vine, this is a witty, romantic, and sexy as hell new novel of two writers and their second chance at love.
I think they've got a kid as well.
So, this is the same dynamic as Beach Read.
Uh-huh.
You've got two writers.
Yeah.
Who are competing, blah, 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 knew each other back when, but instead 15 years have passed and since then she's had a kid. She's a single mum.
Oh, she's had a kid. I couldn't remember if it was
her kid. Because I saw a review that said this was a really interesting, like, the side part of it was, like, her life as a single parent, as a single black mum specifically.
Yeah.
And what that was like. So someone said they felt like it was well done. Another one said they didn't think it was well done.
I can immediately see if they delve into that, why people were complaining about the book.
Yeah. You can imagine how you'd end up with people on the wrong side of the fence for that one, just off the bat. She's an erotica writer. He's a literary writer who's won some awards. So they have just 7 days over a Brooklyn summer.
Yeah.
I don't know why they only have 7 days. Let me just read that bit. Oh, they've been secretly... Oh, actually, I might have to read this.
Well, yeah, you got it on your
I know, shelf. I read it before. When Shane and Evan meet unexpectedly at a literary event, sparks fly, raising not only their past buried traumas, but the eyebrows of New York's black literati. What no one knows is that 20 years earlier, teenage Evan and Shane spent one crazy, torrid week madly in love. They may not be pretending that everything is fine now, but they can't deny their chemistry. Or the fact that they've been secretly writing to each other in their books ever since.
Oh, yes! I remember that part. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So that's why they've only got 7 days, is because they're at this convention.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Lexi's review is basically what convinced me to buy it.
Yeah, I
think this is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, this is all summary vibes. Just in case you shouldn't know. And then our last one is Just for the Summer, Abby Jimenez. It's book three of the Part of Your World series. So from
they're
what I...
They're standalones, aren't they?
Yes, from what I saw online, there are standalones, but there are characters that carry over from the books. So you could read them in any order, you could read them in order. A lot of people have had the opinion that you're not going to give as much of a fuck about the characters in this book if you don't read them all.
Well, that would be poor writing if that's the case.
Again, Abby Jimenez is another one that I see people, it's same as Tessa Bailey, they either absolutely hate her or love her.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ride or die for her. I've actually not listened to or read to any Abby Jimenez's.
I'm going to have a look. I don't think I have.
So this is a sharp and scintillating summer novel that will make readers laugh out loud and cry happy tears. Justin has a curse, and thanks to a Reddit thread, it's now all over the internet. Every woman he dates goes on to find their soulmate the second they broke up.
I remember this description. Yeah, yeah.
When a woman slides into his DMs with the same problem, they come up with a plan. They'll date each other and break up. Their curses will end, and they will find their true love afterwards. And it's meant to be only for the summer. And dun dun dun, guess what happens?
Oh, I could never have
they guessed. Fall in love.
Yeah, no, I haven't read any.
Yeah, I mean, he has to adopt his three siblings, so their relationship escalates quite quickly, it seems.
I like all these ones involving children. I think that's like, as a mum, it's nice to read romance books involving parents, like single parents.
You can still have romance.
Yeah. That's a really good list. I think a lot of them give really good summer vibes without having read them all.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them have very summery covers.
Yeah.
And they're all set somewhere tropical or sunny or holiday.
Yeah, yeah. Good list. Good
so,
list.
Yeah, I was quite happy with this little list. Quite proud of myself.
Yeah.
And I did some actual research. Oh my God, who is she?
Who is she?
We've only been doing a podcast for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, that was a really good list. If you have any summer reads that you think we should be made aware of, come and let us know on any of our socials or on the Discord. Or
I'm a summer girly, she's not.
No, I don't mind summer books. But summer, the weather can go to hell. No, it's good for getting washing done.
And if you don't live in a damp, cold country, you're not going to know why that's important.
Yeah. If you live somewhere that has, like, a laundry room or something, you
want to... I saw these TikToks that, like, people in the US, even if they live in a hot place, don't put hand washing out on their
mind. No, it's not a thing at all.
They tumble.
Tumble dry everything.
Why would you want the heat of a tumble dryer?
I know.
I know they've got aircon, but, like...
But the extra energy usage and stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't understand how... beautiful clothes smell when they've been out on the line drying.
And it's meant to be like a poor thing, basically.
Yeah, I know. Like, America's don't have weird, tumble. No offence. I don't take it back.
That blew my mind when I found out that's not a thing.
Yeah, I know.
In like Georgia and Texas, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, you're like, literally, have you washing out 24/7?
So, I don't know, if weirdly we have a listener from there, I don't know why, but like, dude, just try putting some clothes out.
Yeah.
Just hang it on the back of a chest. Give it a sniff afterwards.
It smells awful. and also, I mean, this might be me being a weird one, but a lot of people don't leave their washing out overnight as well, and I do that, and I don't know.
Well, sometimes I'll put it out at night, because then it gets dry in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I do. So.
And then I haven't got to put washing out in the morning. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's if you're a morning person or not. That's probably the line.
Yeah. But if I'm waking up, so I wake up, I usually, when it's hot, I get the machine loaded before I go to bed, and then in the morning I turn it on.
Mm.
But there's stuff drying from the night before, that's like the perfect, you got to get a cycle going on, especially when you're a family and you've just got more washing than you can cope with.
Ah, washing machine has a timer.
That's function. Good.
Ours, so I can say, turn on at 7:30 in the morning.
Ours does, but it's not quite as good as that. You like delay it by how many hours, so...
Well, yeah, it's just delayed by hours.
Yeah.
I use it all the time.
Anyway,
sorry.
Yeah, so come visit us on any of our socials or whatever. We would love it if you would consider subscribing or following or whatever it is, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Auto-download it.
Give us a rating, leave a review. Whatever you can possibly do, we would really appreciate that. And we will see you next week for a couple of book deep dive type things.
Yeah, we're doing something a bit different next week. Yeah, so make sure you've not done before
and check it out.
Goodbye.